League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the JS Online and PackersNews.com Packers Podcast. I'm your host, Tom Silverstein. And when I say good morning, I really mean good morning, because it is 3:30 a.m. on Friday morning, and I am in the beautiful city of Kansas City and following the Green Bay Packers loss, preseason ending loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. And if you've watched the game or you know of fourth preseason games, you know that it's really not about team performance, and the fact that one team won and one team lost is pretty irrelevant. It's really about individual performance. And Mike McCarthy left 22 players back home, most of whom were healthy and being rested, starters being rested. The idea was that get them a chance to just stay home and relax after a long training camp and keep the four. There were four injured guys who did not come along. That was Jake Kumerow with the shoulder injury, Devontae Mays, who's still kind of coming back from that hamstring injury, Oren Burks with the shoulder injury, and I am forgetting one more player who escapes me right now. I'm sure I'll remember that eventually. Anyway, another thing you might notice is that I'm by myself. My partner, Jim Ozwarski, is not here because he did not make the trip. And so I'm doing this baby solo. And really what I want to get down to right away is breaking down the roster and taking a look at how this might look after Saturday. Cuts are due Saturday at 3 p.m. We may see some cuts on Friday, may not. Kind of depends on how GM Brian Gutekunst handles things. But really what this comes down to, I honestly don't think there's going to be a lot of surprise cuts. I think there won't be a Josh Sitton type move. I think this will be a little bit more by the book. But what will be interesting is to look at how the roster will break down by position. So let's look at how it broke down last year. On offense, there were 5 wide receivers, 9 offensive linemen, 3 tight ends, 4 running backs, 1 fullback, 2 quarterbacks, for a total of 25. On defense, there were 6 defensive linemen, 5 outside linebackers, 3 inside linebackers, 7 corners, 4 safeties, for a total of 25 players. And then you had the 3 specialists. Now, as we go through this year's 90-man roster, I'm going to go through the players who I've eliminated. I think it's pretty much no-brainers. And while it's sad to make that kind of comment, And to write people off like that, it's a fact of the NFL. And if you're not really ready for that, then you're probably not ready for the NFL. So let's start on defense. And the guys that I have eliminated are defensive end Connor Sheehy, nose tackle Tyler Lancaster, inside linebacker James Crawford, safety Raven Green, outside linebacker James Hearns, inside linebacker Nashawn Hughes, inside linebacker Marcus Porter, outside linebacker Kendall Donerson, and cornerback Herb Waters. Now, offense. I have eliminated offensive tackle Alex Light, guard Kofi Amiche, center Austin Davis, running back LaShawn Daniels, running back Bronson Hill, wide receiver Kyle Lewis, tight end Ryan Smith, tight end Adonis Jennings, wide receiver Adonis Jennings, tight end Emmanuel Byrd, and wide receiver D'Angelo Yancey. Is it possible one of those guys could make it? It's possible, but it's pretty unlikely. So let's turn to offense. Last year, they only kept five, and this year, I think they'll keep seven. And the question is, which seven, of course? So the way I see it right now is that Davante Adams, Randall Cobb, Geronimo Allison are 1, 2, 3. Trevor Davis is 4. He's going to make it because he's their main returner and he's a really good gunner on special teams. I don't think he's per se the number 4 receiver as you would think of, but he is the 4th guy who I believe is, or at least is on the list. After that, I'm going to go with Marquez Valdez-Scantling. I think he's got a huge upside with that speed, and you just don't throw guys away who have that kind of speed. 6th, I'm going to go with Jamon Moore. He's had some disappointing performances, and he dropped another ball. At least it looked like it. I'd like to see it again on replay, but it looked like he dropped another ball in the game against the Chiefs. That said, he's a 4th-round pick. He has talent. He's a talented guy. He can probably overcome some of these drops. I mean, really, you think about some guys in the past who've had drop problems. Davante Adams had drop problems. James Jones had drop problems. Even Sterling Sharp, go all the way back then, had drop problems as a rookie. So I'm gonna say he's number 6. I think number 7 comes down to Jake Kumerow and Equanimeous St. Brown. This is a really tough call because Kumerow still has some practice squad eligibility. He's hurt. He's got this SC joint sprain that I'm not sure how long that's going to keep him out. But it's also the fact that he's been hurt is kind of a red flag. That's kind of been his MO. He's been hurt a lot. And whether he can ever be healthy all the time is a big question the Packers have to ask themselves. Equanimeous St. Brown was healthy every practice, every day he was there. I'd say he was fairly consistent. Not great, not as flashy as Moore or Valdez-Scantling, but he was consistent. So that's really what I think the wide receiver position comes down to, Kumerow versus St. Brown. If you put a gun to my head, I would say they're going to probably go with St. Brown, but I'm just not sure. Some of it depends on Kumerow and what his injury is. So that, of course, is really going to be a major consideration for Brian Gutekunst and Mike McCarthy, how they're going to handle the wide receiver position. Okay, last year they kept 9 offensive linemen. This year I think they'll keep 8. The starting 5, Bakhtiari, Taylor, Lindsley, McCray, Bulaga, that's set. We know together that's a pretty decent offensive line. Now, back up, number 6 is going to be Jason Spriggs. I think he earned that with kind of a bounce back second half of training camp. He's still got a long way to go, but he's athletic, he's big, he's got some pass blocking ability. He just needs to continue to get better. And I think he did start to get better during training camp. Next, I'm going to say that Adam Pankey, even though I thought he played horribly against the Oakland Raiders, I did not have time to focus on him, and I'd like to see the game against the Chiefs to see if he bounced back from that. I'm assuming he did okay. If he didn't, then I'm really off base and he's not going to make the team. But I've got him here as the 7th offensive lineman. And then it comes down to, in my opinion, Lucas Patrick versus Byron Bell. They've seen Lucas Patrick for several years now. He's had a few injuries, but he's a reliable guy, tough guy, likable guy. I just think that Byron Bell brings more experience, a little bit more toughness and versatility because he can play tackle and guard. So I think he's the number 8 guy, but ultimately I think it comes down to Patrick versus Bell, and that'll be probably for the 8th spot. Tight end, this is another position where I think there's somewhat tough call. Now, I eliminated Emmanuel Byrd. I think we've got Jimmy Graham. Well, I know we have Jimmy Graham, Lance Kendricks, and Mercedes Lewis. Those three would seem to be locks, but Robert Tonyan, the first-year player, former wide receiver, has looked really good. I mean, he's a really good pass catcher. I think he's a guy they could develop into an all-around tight end. But is that going to happen this year? I don't think so. I think in a pinch he could help them, but I don't think he's going to be active all that much if they kept 4 tight ends. Even if they just kept 3, he's not going to be active all that often. So I think they try to slip him to the practice squad. I would look at it as Kendricks versus Tonyan. Now, Lance Kendricks has had some drop problems. He's not the best blocker, but he's an intelligent guy. He knows how to play the game. He tries as a blocker. He'll give you effort all the time. And he's a pretty good receiver. He just got to cut down on the drops. And he can also, he's really versatile. He can play fullback. He can play in the slot. He can play along the line. And you really can't consider Jimmy Graham much of a tight end. He's not going to block. He doesn't like blocking. He doesn't want to block. He's going to be split out a lot. So if you were to get rid of Kendricks, the only blocker you'd have is Mercedes Lewis. And you got to have more than one. And so that's why I'm going to kind of give the edge to Lance Kendricks. We'll see how that plays out. I would say it's, whether they could keep 4. That's always a possibility. That means they have to go, probably if they went 4 at tight end, they'd have to go 2 at quarterback. Or they'd have to go 6 at wide receiver. So you got to take something to get something. Let's go to running backs. Last year they kept 4. I think they go with 3. And I think the 3 are Jamal Williams, Ty Montgomery, and I think they're going to give the 3rd spot to Devontae Mays. He didn't play at all this preseason, had a hamstring, but I think they know enough of him that he's got more talent than Joel Borneo, and Joel Bonio. And as hard as he played Bonio, I just think that Devontae Mays has more talent. And I think it would be a mistake to give up on him. Now, of course, I didn't mention Aaron Jones. He's suspended for the first two games. So they have the luxury of keeping three running backs. Now, when Jones comes back, I don't know if they can keep four. So we'll have to see. You know, I expect at some point Ty Montgomery will get hurt, and then they'll have to make a decision. You know, if I'm them, would I get rid of Ty Montgomery? I don't know. I'd have to think about it, because as a running back, I just don't think he's going to make it. I just don't think there's that much to offer. I do think he's a good special teams player. He could help you both as a returner if you needed it, but I think in general he can play special teams. Big guy, powerful guy, blocked a punt, I think it was last year, maybe the year before that. So I wouldn't completely write him off, but, you know, he's an injury waiting to happen. Fullback, I think they will go with Aaron Ripkowski again. They just don't use the fullback all that much, so the guy's got to be able to play special teams, and he's got to be really good at it. Ripkowski has been pretty decent. Now, I can't say that I really watched the difference between him and Joe Carriage, but I just think because of experience, Ripkowski's the guy. Now, let's go to quarterback. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers and DeShone Kizer after the trade of Brett Hundley to the Seattle Seahawks. Big question, Tim Boyle, what do you do there? I think you have to keep him. I think you have to put him on the 53. I don't think you can risk losing him. I don't think there's a huge chance that he'll get taken if they expose him to waivers, but why take a chance? He's got a big arm. He's a guy, you know, you'd like to have 4 years with him. So why not take that chance and protect a good player? Or I should say, don't take that chance by exposing him to waivers. So I have them keeping three quarterbacks. That means, you know, only three running backs, one fullback, three tight ends instead of four, eight offensive linemen, and seven wide receivers. That's 15, 18, 21, 22, 25. Okay. So there's your offense. Now, the one thing I did not mention was I sort of had Lucas Patrick going against Byron Bell, but also Kyle Murphy's in that boat too. Murphy, I think he's hurt. He's not played well. And I think it's time for them to move on from him. So, but it really is kind of Bell, Patrick, and Murphy for that A spot. Again, I still think Bell wins it. Okay, over to the defensive side. All right, so last year, 6 D linemen, 5 outside linebackers, 3 inside, 7 corners, 4 safeties. I say they could go 5 defensive linemen this year. Now, ultimately, they might need a 6th, but I think they can make it with 5 in the early going, and that would mean James Looney being put on, being released and put on the practice squad. I'm not sure he's going to help them now anyways, so you'd have Wilkerson, Clark, Daniels, Adams, and Lowry. To some degree, Nick Perry is going to be a defensive lineman. They can go with 3 defensive linemen and Perry as a 4-man front because he's big enough to hold the edge, and I think we will see that. I think they can survive with 5 of those guys, but at some point, if someone gets hurt, they might need a 6th. Because I don't know. I think it would be hard. You know, if one guy gets hurt, how you can go with 4, that'd be pretty tough. So, but I'm gonna say 5. Outside linebackers, I'm going to go with, of course, Clay Matthews, Nick Perry, Reggie Gilbert. That's your top three right there. Now you have to figure out number four. You have to give Kyler Fackrell the edge, even though I know a lot of people don't want him on the team. But I still think there's enough there, especially special teams. He's a really good special teams player, one of their better special teams players. And you've gone this far with him. He's got some talent. You got to push through and see if he can give you something this year. Now, are you going to go with the fifth offensive outside linebacker? You probably need to. You don't have to. You could go with four. But if you go with five, you're talking about Chris Odom versus Vince Beagle. And if they go for five, I think that Beagle wins out there. I think Chris Odom has just not shown enough. Beagle will play some special teams. He's still learning to play the NFL game, and he hasn't been real impressive, but I still think there's enough there to keep him over Chris Odom. Only way that Beagle wouldn't make it, I think, is if they kept four. So from there, you go to inside linebacker. And here, they only kept three last year, with Joe Thomas being the third guy. I think they got to go way more than that. They got to go at least four. And that would be Blake Martinez, Oren Burks, who's banged up and don't know when he's coming back. Got that dislocated shoulder. He could be back for the opener, could be 2 weeks after that. I'm just not really sure. So with that in mind, I think you have to keep Antonio Morrison, the inside linebacker who was just acquired from the Indianapolis Colts. I think Morrison is a good, solid run player. You saw him play a little bit against the Chiefs, and the one thing you could see is that he is an aggressive downhill player. He's not going to be able to cover anybody in man coverage, but he can get to the flat when they throw a ball out to the flat. He showed that. He's going to chase guys down. He kind of reminds me of Sam Barrington. And so I think he makes the team. I also think that Greer Martini makes the team. Even though they're similar players, I think Martini's got too much special teams ability to just cast him aside. Could be a decent inside linebacker, but again, coverage is going to be his issue. So if I had to make a guess, I would say they go with four inside linebackers. Moving on, cornerback. So probably last year they went with seven. I think they go with seven again. And you start out Tremont Williams, Kevin King, 1-2, Devon House, 3, Jair Alexander, 4, Josh Jackson, 5. Then I think Quentin Rollins earned himself a job as a multiple position player. He can play corner, slot, and safety. So he's an important guy in that rotation, and I think he'll definitely make it. If you're going to say those guys are all corners, then you got to pick a seventh, and I think that goes between Josh Hawkins and Dimitri Goodson, and I would have to go with Goodson there because of his special teams ability. Hawkins is probably a better cover guy, but he just isn't consistent enough. And so I think Goodson makes it because the special teams are so good. So that's the seven I could see making it. Safeties, you could go with four, you could go with five. Now I have them going with four, and part of the reason there is that I think Rollins can double as a corner and safety. So I don't think you need to have five. In fact, I think you could go with three and make Rollins the fourth, and then use him as a corner if you wanted. If they were to go with just four, it would be, three, I guess, Clinton Dix, Kentrell Bryce, Josh Jones, and then maybe Quentin Rollins is the fourth. The other option they have is either Jermaine Whitehead or Marwin Evans, and I don't know. I guess I would That's a tough call. Whitehead, they definitely like him. They've played him a lot. You could see it in practice. He gets a lot of playing time. He's got a little bit more coverage ability than the average safety. Not a huge guy. Had some issues covering the tight end against Kansas City. Evans, good special teams player, really good athlete. Probably not really a guy you want in there at safety all the time, but really not terrible. I mean, he's just not going to do something special, but you know, you don't feel too bad having him in there. I do have to say I really liked Raven Green from James Madison. He is more than likely a practice squad guy, but I saw some things from him that I liked, and I wonder if they like him too. I think we could say four safeties. If they wanted to go eight corners or seven corners and then count Rollins as a safety, they could certainly do that, and then they'd be able to keep Josh Hawkins. Or maybe there's someone on the street they want to keep. I don't know. But they can do that. I think Clinton Dix, Bryce, Jones make it. And I think it's kind of a Whitehead Evans thing. So then you go to special teams. Really not much of a race there. I think Zach Treiner beat out Hunter Bradley, the draft pick for long snapper. Still wouldn't rule out them bringing back Brett Goode, but I think Treiner did enough to make the roster. Next you have J.K. Scott's going to be the punter. Had a really nice night against Kansas City. I mean, just blasted the ball. Again, I want to see him punt in winter, and that'll convince me that he's as good as he sometimes looks. Then you've got Mason Crosby, of course, is going to be the kicker. Are there going to be any really drastic cuts? I don't see it. I really don't. I think this is going to be one of the easier jobs they've ever had, trimming a roster. I think they're really set at starting positions, and it all comes down to just some backup spots. In the end, I don't see many surprises. Now, I would ask you to make sure you check in with the blog on Saturday morning. I will be starting at about 8 a.m., and I will go until the cuts are announced. I mean, sometimes I think we've gone as long as 12 hours waiting for the cuts. So I will be with you that whole day, and I hope you'll join me. Should be a lot of interesting discussion, and you know, news will break as the day goes on. We'll find out who's coming and going. And I also encourage you to subscribe to JS Online. We're having a special, and you can find that special at www.jsonline/deal. Tell them Tom Silverstein sent you, and you won't get any additional deal. But at least you can say that Tom Silverstein sent you. You know, I mean, come on. That's got to be worth something. All our coverage is in the paper and online now, including the breakdown of Aaron Rodgers' contract. I was able to get those numbers. Some kind of really interesting aspects of that contract, including how they paid out the signing bonus. I encourage you to take a look at that story. As for that, it's time for me to wrap up because I got to catch a plane in 3 hours. And so maybe I can knock off an hour of sleep before I head out. And so I'm going to cue the music and say, talk to you next time.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
First, there was Tuesday. Then, there was Taco Tuesday. Now at Wendy's, there's Takis Tuesday. Get a new Takis Fuego meal, a.k.a. Takis Fuego chicken sandwich, Fuego fries inspired by Takis, a bag of Takis Fuego chips, a small drink, and also a small Frosty classic. Yes, you can get that any day, but on Takis Tuesday, the Frosty is free. Make every Tuesday a Takis Tuesday. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.